Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to hear from Peter from the CIU, the architect of the Justice for Janitors campaign. Currently, he's working on partnering with unions and groups from Europe and South America to build a campaign to hold financial institutions accountable in the global economy.
It's hard for me to think about any part of organizing without saying what just happened in the economic crisis and what it means. And essentially, forgetting all the rhetoric, and this is a different panel, so I won't do it here, but you know, in the end, the guys that destroyed the economy, took us to the end of the depression, edge of the depression, have used the crisis they created as a justification to now eliminate unions and eliminate public workers and eliminate everything. It's sort of been a wonderful, if you want to call it that, a wonderful twist of history that they crashed the economy, and then they say, well, the economy is in such shit, we have to eliminate everything because there's no money, except we have all the money. Now, the reason I think that ties to this discussion is because I don't know how to have a discussion about labor and community if we don't first say, what is it we need to do at this time in history? What is a strategy that gives us some chance of winning? Because I spent my lifetime as a union organizer, you know, justice for janitors, a lot of things, but it seems we're at a moment where the world's either going to get much, much worse or much, much better. And what I want to do is just throw out a couple big ideas, not, I don't know if they're big ideas, but broad ideas of how to think about this, which is...
All righty. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us, for those in the chat room and joining us in the chat room. Thank you for joining us for tonight's show. For those looking for Dr. Jones, well, I think everybody is aware that Dr. Jones is on vacation, and he's going to be for another, till basically about the 25th of April. So for as long as he's gone, I am Cool Mike, and I am your host. Fred Karger for president. Wow, can you imagine that? The show is finally here after several attempts to get Fred on. That is just great to finally have this day come. I have to acknowledge, everybody, I am a little nervous. I've really, really wanted to do something along these lines, a show for a while, and have a potential presidential candidate. Not like the Mickey Mouse one we had a month or so ago on the Perry Steele Show, but a viable, true candidate. And Fred Karger brings that to the table. For many who don't know, Fred won the New Hampshire straw poll. And Fred's going to call in at 9:30. And I'm really, really excited. You know, thank you for coming. Let's see. All righty. And for those who are not familiar with what we have going on today, Fred Karger, who is a Republican for Republican for president, he's going to join us at 9:30. In the meantime, I have individual blog talk guests coming on, and they're going to be part of this panel, no different than a debate you happen to see on television. They're going to join us. On we go. I've asked several different people, all who have different personalities and different type of shows, to join us. This way, I think that we'll be able to really, really get a good view and a good flavor of a well-rounded view of Blog Talk. It's not that these personalities don't always agree on everything, and they're not like they're all saying birds of a feather flock together. These individuals kind of flock on their own, and I think that's a great thing. That's a great way of having handling the show. Anyway, in the meantime, I actually have somebody in the switchboard. So let me grab them because I want to make sure it is who I thought. Okay, I have a caller on here. It's area code 000. Who do I have here? Hello?
You got me, Mike?
Yeah. Oh, Annie. I didn't realize it's you. Southern Sense didn't come up on the switchboard. Normally, it identifies you.
No, I Skyped in. And the thing is, I cannot find your chat room.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to shut the chat room down and then bring it back up. I know Tesla's in there, and so is John, American citizen. So let's start
What's
up
it
with
under?
Another. C. Robert Jones. I sent you the link like four times this week, Annie.
yeah, but I'm looking at the live chats, and I can't find the C. Robert Jones inside the listing.
I mean,
they changed this whole thing around.
Tesla's in there, John is in there, Maya Bloomstra's in there. So the chat room is there.
Well, I can't seem to find it. Anyway, how y'all doing today?
How's the martinis going tonight there, Annie?
It's warm weather, so I've got myself a white wine spritzer.
Oh, okay. Welcome. I sent out individual times people to call, so Annie probably wanted to listen to the show for a while. But you know what? Since I have Annie on, let's just go ahead and rock and roll. Annie, do you want to introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about yourself and who
yeah.
you are, about your show,
okay.
and when they can hear you, how they can contact you? We have several people jumping into the chat room. Oh, geez, looks like the inmates got out of the asylum. So go ahead and...
All right. My name is Ann Ubalis, and I'm the host of Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I normally broadcast on Tuesdays and Fridays, 2 p.m. to 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. This coming week, I'm going to have on the 12th, Congressman Joe Uli Wilson coming on the 12th. And on the 15th, I'm going to have the fair tax coming on. And on the 16th, I've got a special interview with Michelle Bachman, and that will be Saturday the 16th at 9 a.m., because she'll be here locally doing a couple of speeches. So I'm a conservative talk suburban radio show, even though I don't sound like I'm a transplanted New Yorker to the South of Carolina. How's that?
And a former New York City Coco, everybody. So run while you still can.
But
that's
I also own But I also own some businesses. I work with my husband on his business. You know, it's a mean person.
Yeah, well, you know, Annie sent me an email wanting me to send her information after I did it all week. She says, my cat ate that information. Well, you know, when you pull people over, Annie, people say something like that. Well, my cat ate my registration or my proof of insurance. Did you ever buy something like that?
I used to get, officer, give me a ticket. Instead of give me a ticket, give me a scare. So I'd go, boom, here's your scare, now here's your ticket. No, it didn't work.
Okay.
But right
anyway,
now,
I'm really happy about having you.
On my
Annie?
Feet right now. What's that?
I'm really happy. I said I'm happy to have you. Am I coming in okay as far as on your phone?
Sure. For some reason,
okay.
I'm having a blonde moment because I cannot find the chat room.
Okay, well, the chat room now has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 total people. And it's got some people I've never had in here. But welcome, American Citizen, which is John, Bloom, Alpo, Michaela, Maya. Yeah, well, we'll overlook that, Annie. Anyway, and of course, Tesla. Tesla. Today was a moment we'll just never forget. All righty. Area code 952. Are you on? Are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm right here, brother.
Oh.
What's going on? It's Calpote. What's going on?
It's who?
Calpote.
Oh, okay. All right. I see you in the chat room. How are you doing?
Good. I am the press secretary for Bill Clinton, and we're just kind of hanging out here on Blog Talk Radio. Mr. the 42nd president, Bill Clinton. I'm the press secretary
right.
for this.
Yeah, right.
Well, you want to talk to him? You want to talk to him?
To Bill Clinton?
You want to talk to him or not?
No, we'll pass. Thanks. Yeah, he's made it. Anyway, that takes care of that. He's made his rounds to talk to all kinds of people on Blog Talk, so we take care of that. Maybe Hillary sent him. Annie, are you with me?
Yeah, but I'm getting like a double feedback. I'm not sure if it's my side or yours.
Well, ask some people in the chat room if they would post if they can hear me okay. A couple quick questions, Annie.
Sure.
And before we get other callers, I know you're very active in Beaufort County, South Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you're very active. What is your take on both parties? And obviously the shutdown that was going to take place, of not paying our military. This is this throws a monkey wrench into all of my questions, because I had questions prepared for Fred Carter, which I will ask him. But this has totally gotten my blood to boil, that basically even our party, as the conservatives, can send our guys and gals to war that they were going to pay themselves, but not the military. What's your take?
That if that doesn't get a normal, a good red-blooded and blood boiling, then they're dead from the neck down. I swear. It was one of the huge, most... I couldn't understand why, to begin with, the Republicans, the conservative Tea Party Republicans that were fighting for not having all the crap the Democrats and progressives want in there, why didn't they get in front of the media and say, hey, listen, the Democrats put this in the bill saying we're not going to pay the military. Why don't you vilify them? But instead, they stood there like a bunch of little babies. This six-month stopgap go through, I think it's so full of bull, you know what. I'm you can see, you here I'm sputtering. I'm that angry.
Great to use a little profanity there, Princess. It's all good.
It's just sheer stupidity. And now they got the 6 month thing in here. The only thing I can hope and pray for is that Paul Ryan gets through with his path to prosperity. And he does cut the budget by that 6.2. So I'm just hoping at this point Paul Ryan can get enough people behind him to push this through.
And I have to say, I am very disappointed in our Tea Party boosters that I thought at the beginning of the – I thought during the November elections, I really thought as we were sending 80-plus so Tea Party boosters there, and as it turns out, we have under 10 who have really stuck to the guns. And surprisingly, the one person who I couldn't stand, who I campaigned against, the congressman in my own district, he's standing tall as far as a true conservative for old-fashioned beliefs, which I guess I'm eating my words. I have no longer left any bad comments on his Facebook page, but it's really disappointing to see that we have sent our men and women now at four battle fronts. And we were about to tell them that they're not getting paid, yet the senators and congressmen were still going to get paid. How disappointing. I mean, just absolutely. That's just disappointing. That's insulting. That's insulting as Americans that we would even put up with stuff like that. Can you imagine if this were, say, 1790? These guys would be hanging from ropes.
No, I agree. I completely agree. And one of the people that you're not really thrilled about, Michelle Bachmann, she stood up tall on it, too. And she's one of the ones that turned around and says, I'm not going to stand for this. And you got to hand it to her.
Yeah, oh yeah. I've criticized Michelle Bachmann when she's wrong, or as far as when she stood up in favor of the Patriot Act. And I was really glad. I think a lot of times, now I don't know this for a fact, but I think sometimes when you're a newbie, you get starstruck. And I think being there in some ways is a little intimidating. You're elected, you take your oath, next thing you know, you're around all kinds of people that you're used to seeing on TV, and they're all surrounding you now. I think in many, many ways, sometimes it's I don't know what the word is to use. I'm not the most eloquent of speakers, but I do like to see the way that several true conservatives are now stepping to the plate. And I think this was horrible. The Republicans have learned nothing from 2006, when the party basically George Bush assisted the implosion of itself. And basically, because I don't think the Republicans really won last year. I think the Democrats lost it. And the Republicans, they've had numerous opportunities to really step up, to really, really separate themselves in the horse race here, to whereas, as we know, in the Kentucky Derby, you break away from the pack. And they just haven't. I mean, they are becoming more and more elitist. It's so disappointment. It's so disappointing, at least from my standpoint.
And that I can completely agree. I haven't looked at all the congressional votes on this, and I really haven't had time because I've been trying to get my notes together for you on this show, and I've got myself a bunch of questions here. But I'm going to have, like I said, Joe Wilson on. I'm going to be curious as to how he voted and why he voted the way he did. And knowing him, I have a funny feeling he voted for the budget. you know, like I said, I can understand their need to push it through because they got boxed in with this military pay BS. But at this point, I would say, now you've got the 2012 budget coming up. Show me whether or not you got the cojones to really stand for what we elected you to do. And like I said, Paul Ryan's path to prosperity is a good start right there.
Yeah, one of the disappointments for me, at least in this current budget, is the Republicans are saying it's a step in the right direction. Well, a step isn't. I mean, this is very similar to the Democratic budget. It saves us, you know, chump change. We need significant legislation right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. Who knows how long the implosion time is? And man, oh man, who knows? I mean, who knows how long it's going to wait? And, I mean, who long? Wait a minute. Let me rephrase this and get these words straight. Who knows how long before our country really, really is beyond on its back? And I think the longer we wait, the closer and closer we get to that stick of dynamite, the fuse exploding. And we know the fuse has been lit. It's just a matter of how long is it?
Yeah, until it blows up in our face. And that's the problem. Yeah, how many of these committees, you know, when you ever have a congressional committee go on, they never die. These committees stay within the government bureaucracy for decades. I'm sure that some of them are still in effect from the 1920s. Yeah, how can we turn around and then sunset these whenever they have some investigative committee? I'm sure there's even stuff from the McCarthy era that's still out there, at these committees that people are still employed on and pumping paperwork, and someone's going in there, sitting there with their thumb up their hindquarters and getting the government check. How do we now sunset these committees and knock them out so they're not part of the taxpaying budget for eternity? That's one way to cut out billions of dollars. How about the agencies that are duplicating efforts? You've got agencies that do the same exact work, but they're two separate agencies. Why can't you unite them, marry them? And why can't you turn around to every single agency head and then turn around and tell them, justify your budget? Line by line to me. You can't justify it. It's getting cut out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree.
Common sense.
Am I coming in
okay? Yeah, you've got a little bit of echo behind you, but you're fine.
Okay, I apologize. For those who are listening, I had to do the show away from the regular studio, which is, I am basically in the Detroit area, and I had to actually do the show from a cafe. The reason being is that this was the only chance we could get Fred Karger, and it was today or it wasn't. Area code 215. John, is that you?
Yeah, hello. I think the situation with the budget and then maybe it would save the government from going under in terms of paying out, you know, paychecks and so forth. But I think it's a matter of time before it happens again. I don't know the extent of Paul Ryan's expertise on the American economy. And I think what they're doing is they're going to slash a lot of the poverty programs that kept, you know, lower-income people afloat in order to keep the budget going the next time they have a budget hearing. And I think that if that occurs, then you're going to see a major backlash in the country coming from mostly the working poor.
Yeah, that's very true. Annie, I need you, if you will go ahead and make a comment for the next, say, 2 minutes or so, I'll let you know when I'm back. I have to run an errand real quick, and I don't want to go into this room and lose the signal. So I'll be right back. If you go ahead and follow up with Don, kind of be my co-host, if you will.
Oh, well, hello, Don. You got Ann from Southern Sense. How are you doing tonight?
No, just give your opinion. He knows who you are.
If we're going to continue to talk about the budget, I mean, there's a lot of it in there that is duplicity. For example, you've got the food stamp program they now call SNAP. But are you aware that local school districts have a program that they are mandated to maintain that provide low-income children that are already on SNAP programs, food stamps, to receive two free meals a day? So basically, these families are double dipping. Instead of using the food stamps that they're getting three solid the food stamps, they're getting two free meals for the same child. Are you aware of that? That's something they can cut out of the budget. And that alone is costing $50 million a year to taxpayers out of local school budget, meaning that money that's coming out of local school budgets is not going to teachers' pay, it's not going to books, it's not going to other curriculum programs that are helping the actual students. Instead, money is being double-dipped and paid out in duplication to someone already receiving the benefits. That's a ripoff.
Well, I can say from personal experience for people who have actually worked in urban school districts that on the East Coast, namely here in Philadelphia, that as a result of the budgetary cuts by the federal government, a lot of programs in terms of teaching programs and teacher salaries are being reduced. Also on a, on like the city level, a lot of the city budgets that come from the state and that indirectly come through the federal government, they're cutting funding to libraries, they're cutting different types of funding in terms of the ability to have transportation for children that that are disabled. So there is a lot of cuts in funding that are occurring to a lot of the school districts in the like in urban settings.
Well, I'm in a rural setting also, not urban rural. So you look at my school budget, and if you've got someone that's already getting benefits to receive meals, now they're going to the school district that's mandatory to give them additional meals above and beyond their benefit, above and beyond what a normal person will be able to eat in a solid day, rather than turning around and saying, all right, fine, we'll work it on a voucher program for those $2 a day or $5 a day, whatever. We're already paying you federal funds to have these meals. So now take those funds that you're going to use to send meals you would have eaten anyway, pay them to the school district, and that way the school district has that much more money to pay the teachers, to pay for the school books, to pay for programs for special need kids and so on and so forth. But instead, the school district is mandated to pay out and have these people double dip into programs and getting twice the benefit that anyone else would get. There's one way to cut down on school budget and keep teachers employed.
Right. Well, I'm not aware of the of the meal programs. I'm speaking more on the line of the actual funding to the classrooms themselves. These are kind of different things that are allocated in the budgets that the city has put together and that the school district follows, and there are drastic cuts being proposed in different aspects of the educational program in some of these urban school districts.
Right, so, but what you have to now do is look at the actual school budget. Now, we have a problem here, and we've been fighting our school district tooth and nail. Average cost of a student in the state of South Carolina is approximately $10,000. Our students in our school district, and it's a rural area, is getting $14,000 per student. Now, we're asking, we're in a poor area, why are these students getting $4,000 more? And then when we look at the ratio of administrative personnel to actual teachers in the classroom, it is completely disproportionate. They have more people in administration than they actually have teachers in the classroom. Why? Why is the administration budget so bloated? And when we turned around and did the figures, only approximately 35% of actually every dollar being spent for the school district was going to the classroom. That meant 65% was going to administrative costs.
Right.
And
well,
that's
unreasonable. One of the problems with the school district is that you have too many people in the too many people in the state government side, or like too many people that serve as the administrators rather than teachers. And teachers that are not performing in the classroom, they're protected by the teacher union so that they cannot be fired. Like the teacher can get a form of tenure in like 2 years of work. So a teacher can work in the classroom for 2 years then get tenure, and with them having tenure, it's very difficult to fire them. So they're protected by the teachers' union after that. And you have too many administrators in the school districts because they are, you know, operating the school districts on the aspect of the state. Like, the state has complete control over the school district, and they put these, you know, people in to monitor what funds are spent and so forth. So what has to happen is, you know, you have to change the structure of the school district so that you get a federal government oversight of the
That's a major problem. Federal government oversight on the schools, our schools, is what's causing the problem, because the federal government is mandating the curriculum, mandating certain programs that must be maintained, and they're using a one-size-fits-all for every single school district across America. And that doesn't work.
No doubt about that, Annie.
What may work in a rural area may not work in an urban area.
Whoa, hang on. John, hang on. Annie, go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
That's right. It's just the one-size-fits-all. It is not going to work. What may work in Kansas may not work in Florida. What may work in South Carolina will not work in California. And even when you compare towns within a certain state, you can't use a one-size-fits-all. Stating one-size-fits-all. And then the state then perpetuates that. If you turned around and gave total autonomy to each and every school district to decide what they're going to teach, what the curriculum is going to be doing, how many school hours, and so on and so forth, you take the federal government and state government out of it, our schools will function better, and you will see our scores, our test scores, exceed what is beyond Japan, if possible.
Okay, well, weighing in, I'm sure here's somebody else who is never short of opinions. Tesla, are you with us?
Right here, there, Mike. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, good. Am I coming out okay on the air, Tesla?
Yeah, you're sounding fine in my earpiece. Yep.
Just so you know, Annie and John, earlier today, Tesla had a show, which the topic today was, as always, Tesla's very uncontroversial, but it actually started when the cafe I was at, it started a little altercation to whereas the local popos got involved and several of our regular chatters were out on the sidewalk and, oh boy, the inmates have all left the asylum there, Tesla. Everything was all, we got everything all straightened out. But I'm going to introduce coming up, Tesla's no secret to this show, but Tesla, why don't you go ahead, take a minute or so, introduce yourself to the listening audience and those who will be listening on the download. Tell them a little bit about you, your show. Go ahead.
All right. I produce and host three shows over the weekend. On Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, it's the Roundtable Roundup. That show is a more humorous look or whatnot at the events that have transpired over the past week, political events and whatnot. Then on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, as I did today, I have the American Exceptionalism edition of Socialism is Not an Option, in which we take a look at the Constitution. And today we took a look at the 14th Amendment and what are called protected classes of individuals. Now tomorrow on Sundays, and I have a show on Sundays at 4 p.m. called the Hot Topic edition of Socialism is Not an Option. Now tomorrow's topic is going to be sex on their sleeve. You're not going to want to miss that program as well. You can find my show at www.blogtalkradio.com/Tesler, T-E-S-S-L-E-R.
Well, Tesla, that, you know, Tesla's had so many good shows, and
he's
I think,
smooth.
Yeah, well, here's my opinion, too, as Tesla actually said this to me. When you're stealing material from his show, I think that's kind of like the ultimate, that's the ultimate compliment. And I kind of got my start by, I would listen to blog talk shows, and I would kind of take notes of what different people said. And basically, when I started doing the show, I would take quotes from different people. And when I had Tesla on, I kind of came clean, and Tesla replied. He said, well, you know what? That's the greatest compliment that you could ever pay. And I always do it out of respect. I disagree with Tesla on a lot, as I do with John and Annie, but you know something? I don't like these shows where everyone just calls in and it's a big agreement show. I don't think you can get anything accomplished. To agree is great, but I mean, I think when you disagree and you go back and forth at a fairly civil pace, this is politics, so we get heated up and we have emotions involved, and maybe we say something we didn't mean, or we say something a little louder than we'd like, or what have you. But this is our country we're playing with. Tesla's show is socialism is not an option, and it's so true. We're moving so fast and rapidly in that direction. It's almost as if this huge ball is rolling down the hill, and it's almost like a bunch of ants are just getting crushed along the ways. And, I just think that us involved in Blog Talk is so important. It really gives you and I a chance to take our own opinions and just reach out to whoever will listen and other people to get involved. And who knows, maybe we're slowly but surely building some sort of an American revolution that, you know, 50 years from now we'll talk about, well, you know, those, they had that Blog Talk Radio, and that really was major. You know, who would have thought just a couple of guys sitting around there who ended up writing the Declaration, here we are so many years later, and look how big it is.
That's true. It's one listener at a time. You make a convert.
Yeah. John, I have a question for you. You are in Philadelphia, correct?
Yes.
Who is the mayor of Philadelphia?
The current mayor, his last name, is Nutter. His first name is Michael. His full name is Michael
Okay.
Nutter.
There is a mayor of a major city, and I think it may be Philly. On the 18th of April, he is leading his people into a rally, and it's a rally about eliminating the federal income tax. This is a mayor of a big city, and I think we need more of that. I think we need, you know, Tesla has a little tree he's planted, and it's being watered with his shows. Annie, you're doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing. Perry Steele's doing the same thing. And people like John, who come along, and he kind of is a regular on many shows, and he's kind of helping to water these trees. And, you know, through winters, through storms, hurricanes, tsunamis, whatever you name it, I think it's the tree that grows through the years, whose roots are very, very strong, that survive. A tree is going to lose some leaves. It's going to lose some branches. A big storm may even take down part of the trunk, but I think in the major roots stand, and it's like a family. I mean, you survive these winters, you survive these storms, like America, and hopefully we're getting past this, and hopefully we will survive this storm without. I don't know what to say to this. It's just like so many of these politicians are the same now. It's two sides of the same coin, and it is my personal opinion. And we're going to start before. Fred called, and we're going to start basically, I feel like they're not in the same bed together, but I think that they're sleeping in the same room, and you have two separate beds. Tesla, why don't you go ahead and comment, then we'll do Annie.
Well, the problem with a lot of the politicians today is that they have learned that in order to advance within any business or corporate structure, they have to go along in order to get along and to advance. You know, generally speaking, people who rock the boat are not accepted people within organizations, whether it's corporate, whether it's the corporate world or the political world. And while us as folks, as voters, like folks who rock the boat, the insiders of any organization don't like those that rock the boat. So the problem becomes with these politicians, even the new ones, even those that helped to get elected by the Tea Party movement, once they get there, are they going to become the get-along, go-along guys again, like the rest have, or are they going to maintain their stance? Are they going to stick by their guns, which is rare today? It is just rare to be able to get along and still be a conservative. And of course, the perfect example of that was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I agree. I think I didn't always agree with Reagan, but man, he sure stood tall on certain issues. Annie, why don't you go ahead?
He said it perfectly. I don't know how much more I can add to that. I do agree. It's going to be a matter of watching to see what these clowns do now. And you do have some of them that stood sturdy last night. I believe there was 27 of them that stood sturdy. But what happened to the rest of them? There was, what, 83 that went in there? So you got limp-wristed on, what, 40-some-odd? And I want to see what happens with now.
Tesler, I'm going to jump back to you. John, I see John just hanging on there. I accidentally hung up on John, so I told him to call back. Tesler, you never seem to be shy on words here. What's your opinion of, before we passed that budget yesterday, of the politicians being paid, but they were going to basically stiff the military? And, you know, this is Blog Talk Radio. Speak your mind. Well, wait a minute. Me even saying that to you is insulting.
You know, they talk about stiffing the military, and I examined that last night. On my Roundtable Roundup program, they're not really stiffing the military to the extent that they're not going to get paid at all. All they're going to do is just delay payments to these military. They stiff them for a week. They're without a paycheck, and that's not a good thing because we all expect to be paid when we're supposed to be paid. But they were going to get stiffed until the final budget came along, and then they'll just pay them back retroactively. Now, it's not a good thing, but don't let the press make you think that, okay, they lost that paycheck for the week. They weren't going to lose it. They were just going to be paid later on it. That's a fact. That's how it was going to come out.
But were they going to have access to that funds? I mean, if a bank account was zero today and there was a shutdown and tomorrow they needed to pay bills, would they have been able to pay their bills? Because
of course
I was informed. What's that? Well, I mean, I was informed that a individual service member called a couple creditors and told them the situation. He is in Afghanistan. And they basically told him, tough shit. You need to pay your bill on time.
Yeah, I got that too.
I think
you know, it wouldn't take them anything to include a resolution or include a passage in a budget like that that indicates that any person who's not paid as a result of the shutdown cannot be chased by a creditor for lack of payment during that period. Wouldn't take them much to create that law. Boom, they're protected.
Yeah, this is so disappointing because it's just greatly disappointing. I don't want to dwell on it, and I am going to I'm going to get it to Mr. Carter when he calls. His press secretary text messaged me just a minute ago. He's being held up, but he will call in. And if not, the three of us, the four of us, I'm sure will get all kinds of stuff accomplished. Another quick question, or not a quick question. On Monday, a footnote. I'm doing the best I can with this show. And for those listening, I'm not the most eloquent of speakers, and I'm sort of new at this. So I'm always open to ideas for new shows. But on Monday, we're going to have it's going to be called The Cast of Characters. And you, everybody listening is welcome to call. Tesla, you're welcome to call as well as Annie. We're going to have Doc Weifer, who also I believe precedes Tesla on his show, another person who I disagree with, and he's not afraid to slug it out. I really like that. And also, Tesla, I finally got a hold of Loki. So Loki will also be joining us. He runs the Halls of Mahala on Blog Talk Radio. And T.J. Thompson, I don't know who remembers him, but he used to do the Young Guns Conservative. He's now on Steamcastic. He's going to join us. Again, they are no different than Cool Mike, Tesla, or Annie. They have their own individual shows, their own individual opinions. And what we are doing here is I'm reaching out, and they will also tell you about their shows and their views. And I always like having people who just are not afraid to be combative, because I don't think right now this world I don't think it's adapting in the United States for the timid. I think the people who are quiet are getting crushed, and I think we're seeing that. And we need the person who not really is going to swing back, because we're fighting a big giant. I think we need a person who's going to pick up the chair and start swinging it in a cafe. No offense to what happened this week or earlier today. Annie, do you want to comment on that? It's Tesla's fault, by the way.
Well, a lot of what you have to say is, you know, one Americans have is a bad case of apathy. I mean, you can get excited about something right now, but as soon as that fad phases, so does their attention. It's going to be up to people like us to keep them aware and keep their attention going. And that's a tough battle, especially, you know me, I'm part of the Tea Party here in Beaufort. We don't endorse candidates. We don't follow any political party. In fact, we've got a councilman that's going to be coming up for re-election in 2012. And when I looked at, you know, what the field looked like, I turned around and said, this Democrat actually looks better than anyone else running. And if he comes talk to me, sit down, talk to me, and maybe we can do something to help back him. You know, it's going to be a matter of whether or not we can keep the public's attention on what really matters and keep them active and involved. Things like the Blog Talk Radio help, active rallies, meetings, or whatever sometimes help. But again, it's a flash in the pan. We have to keep on doing whatever we can to keep their attention and keep them on the issues.
Yeah, Tesla, do you want to go ahead and comment?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have found interesting, and I get a few of folks on my shows that are conservative, but they go to this issue of, well, we have to find common ground. We have to meet the liberals halfway. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We've been meeting the liberals halfway for 50 years, and look where it's gotten us. Now, I'm sick and tired of meeting the liberals halfway. I'm sick and tired of the John McCains in this world. People don't understand this is a political war unlike anything folks have ever seen before, and we have got to stand our ground. Now, it may make us look, starchy and unwilling to compromise. But God, how much compromise can we do and still keep our country? No, it's over. It's a political war, and they're winning. Ladies and gentlemen, they're winning.
You got it.
Go ahead.
You got it. Yeah. Exactly.
My first error of the night. John, I'm sorry I disconnected you by accident. Do you want to comment and follow up what Tesla said? And like I said, for those who are tuning in to hear Fred Carter, his press secretary texted me. He is... He will explain why he is late, but it's par for the course. But go ahead, John. Why don't you
I think most people would want to hear what his how he stands in terms of same-sex marriage.
Okay, John. Why don't you hold that thought? Because if I am not mistaken, joining us on the air, Mr. Carter, is that you?
It's the late Fred Carter. I apologize.
Well, you already taking the liberty of thinking you're president there being late. Well, Fred, it's all good. Am I coming in clear, Fred?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Yep, I can. Fred, you're. Let me explain who we have on the air real quick before we jump in. We have Annie. She is host of Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. She is in Beaufort County, South Carolina. Tesla runs, he has a show, Socialism is Not an Option. He has several, but that's my favorite, so I'll mention that. He is in the Florida area. Also online is a very good friend, John, who is out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I live out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. So here's a chance to plant some roots all over the country. Take a minute or two, introduce yourself to the listening audience and our host panel, and then we'll begin with some questions.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, yes, my name is Fred Carter. I'm calling you from Orange County, California. I live in Laguna Beach, and I have been a longtime politico. I spent close to 30 years as a political consultant, managing campaigns, usually on the Republican side, working for a lot of companies, helping them through the political process. And I've always kind of lived a double life. I've always been gay and had a pretty healthy gay life, but I didn't think it would mesh well with my political life. So I was in the closet until about 5 years ago when I had retired from my career. And I got active in my hometown, Laguna, trying to save a historic gay bar and the gay life along with it. And then during the Prop 8 campaign, I stepped up to the plate and became very active in taking a very aggressive position against the companies, individuals who had given a huge amount of money to take away the marriage rights in California, starting with a guy named Doug Manchester, gave $125,000. We boycotted his two hotels in San Diego. And I kind of found my niche in this area. I'd always worked in opposition campaigns, and I decided during that summer of 2008 I would consider combining my two skills, gay rights and the political, and consider throwing my hat into the presidential race, as crazy as that is. And I kept it as a deep, dark secret for many, many months until I started talking about it about 15 months ago, and been very aggressive ever since, traveling the country, spending a lot of time in New Hampshire and Iowa. Been in New Hampshire 13 times in the last year, and Iowa 6. I'm getting ready to come down to South Carolina on the 20th of the month because there's a very important presidential debate, the first of the season, that is going to be in Greenville. And I've been getting a lot of attention. You know, the gay Republican thing is got some legs because it's pretty unusual. And I'm not your average Republican. I'm a progressive Republican. So that's kind of where we are. I've just started fundraising. I have a great website, fredwho.com. I'm asking people to send in $5, five for Fred. I'm getting a great response from all over the country, and I mean to shake things up in the Republican primaries and caucuses.
Well, great, Fred. And one of the reasons I've asked this panel to come on is I know as an apprentice of Ronald Reagan, you have tough skin and you're not afraid to slug it out. Here we will not use any profanity, but we're taxpayers. You know, in some ways we're upset, and I'm sure you've come across a lot of that. And before we actually begin any type of debate or combat, I want to congratulate you on winning the straw poll. And I'm very disappointed, Fred. I haven't gotten a Fred Hoon T-shirt or a frisbee, and I've been spreading the word all over Grand Rapids, Michigan about you.
Well, great. Yeah, now you're home to my first presidential candidate. I worked on Gerald Ford's campaign. I've not been to Grand Rapids to the museum, but I hope to, and I definitely will take care of that mix up here and make sure you get the frisbees, everybody, frisbees and T-shirts. We're spreading the joy.
All righty. Well, Fred, the last time, Fred, we had a presidential candidate on board, the first question went to Tesla, and he chased that guy out of here in a matter of 60 seconds. So hopefully you'll stick around a little longer. And Tesla, why don't you do the honors? First question for Republican Fred Carger.
All right. Well, you know, Mr. Carger, it's a pleasure to meet you, of course, and it takes guts to run for any political office. So, and I do admire any person who does that, regardless of their political philosophy. So I do want that, up and out of the way so that folks understand that you need to respect these people who are running for president, yet when they do, they've got to be ready for the tough questions. And I promise, Mr. Carger, I'll be gentle on you since this is our first time.
Whoa, Tesla.
No,
you did not
go there.
Hey, let the man speak. Let him ask a question.
Mr. Carter, I've had an opportunity to see a little bit about your website there, fredcarger.com. In fact, I was so impressed by some of the information I saw on it, I even wrote a blog piece on my blog that I put a link on in the chat room so folks can see it. Now I have to frame the question. You're going to know who I'm talking about, but I need to frame the question for listeners who may not know who I'm talking about, okay? So just give me a little leeway here. There's a fellow out there in Hollywood, a blogger by the name of Perez Hilton, and he has a blogging site, PerezHilton.com. Now, this man once judged a pageant, a Miss USA pageant, and as a result, caught on videotape, Perez Hilton is prominently displayed, sir, on your website. Now, in light of the fact that Perez Hilton is such a woman hater, I have to ask you, Mr. Carger, are you a woman hater too? And if not, why do you so closely align yourself with Mr. Perez?
Well, Well, you know, I've been getting all kinds of coverage. I'm, as I said, kind of a different type of candidate here. And Perez Hilton, who's covered some of my activism before, has done a wonderful job in covering my my filing for president as the first openly gay candidate in history. And he called me fab in his first sentence. He said, it's fab, or he's fab. And I'll tell you, my niece, who's been kind of lukewarm to what I'm doing, and a lot of young girls from all over the country I suddenly started hearing from, who are forwarding my website around and everything. So, no, I think it's great. I've got a whole array of coverage, and I'm thrilled that Perez Hilton is covering me and has really done a big job in getting a lot of the younger voters engaged in what I'm doing. And so I thank him for that.
Well, I appreciate your answer, Mr. Carter, but it doesn't answer my question. The question is, sir, that whereas Perez Hilton is a known woman hater, and you prominently display him on your website, are you too a woman hater? And if not, why do you prominently display this guy?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a woman hater at all. I love women. I'm gay, and that's not my choice for sexual partners, but I've got a lot of women friends, women working for me. I'm anything but a woman hater, and I don't even know if that's a fair charge against Perez. I've never heard that. You know, he asked a tough question that Carrie Prashon, and, you know, she just kind of typified what our opponents are like. They don't have a lot of good reasoning, but they just have kind of been brainwashed into being anti-gay and anti-gay marriage, and, you know, she unraveled, and what a hypocrite she turned out to be. So, you know, he did a service, I think, and I don't know if that's because he hates women. I think, you know, she seemed like a wonderful, charming woman in the first place, as all those Miss California and Miss USA contestants are, but, you know, she turned out to be a major hypocrite, and then, of course, became a spokesperson for my nemesis, the National Organization for Marriage. And I'll tell you, there is one woman I'm not too fond of, and that's Maggie Gallagher, who runs that organization and is an awful, mean-spirited, evil person.
Well, you know, I find it very unfortunate, Mr. Craig Carter, that you would call a pageant girl a hypocrite while you're running for president of the United States, and yet you would defend Perez Hilton, who I have on tape on that website of him calling that same woman a bitch. You endorse that conclusion, sir? Hello?
Are we all still here?
No.
Tesla, you're
Tesla,
two for two.
You chased him off, Tesla?
He's not with us. He is, nope, he's no longer with us. He has left the house. You're batting a 1,000, Tesla.
Two for two, huh?
Yeah, exactly. One of the, jumping back in, one of the questions that you kind of asked, and he is on the cell phone, so we may have lost him, he may call back. Who knows? Either way, we're going to continue with the discussion. But one of the interesting things, I think, these type of questions are not allowed to ask in person. If we're in an auditorium, the person sitting up there on the soapbox, I mean, we're getting nowhere. You can't ask these kind of questions. Why is it that these questions can only be asked on something like a blog talk radio? Or if they're going to be like that, they don't. Where is the candidate of the FDRs or the Eisenhowers who weren't afraid of this type of combat? And we did lose Fred. We have him back. I will let him follow. I'll let him come back, and then we're going to jump to Annie's question. But that's a good question to ask. Fred, are you with us?
Yeah, sorry, Tesla. I swear I didn't hang up on you. I was just getting ready to answer your question. I'm driving, unfortunately, in California. But I don't know Perez Hilton. I think he's a, you know, tremendous blogger. He's great at getting publicity. I don't agree with his comments of what he referred to Carrie Prashon, but I think he's got a huge following, and I welcome his coverage of me, and think he's doing a lot for civil rights, and he's having some fun and very successful.
Okay, Annie, we're going to jump to you next. Annie is Southern Sense, and she's in South Carolina. So, Fred, if you're headed to South Carolina, she is a very big activist in Beaufort County, South Carolina. Annie, your question, go ahead for Fred Karger.
Okay, I want to thank Tesla for bringing up the thing about Perez Hilton, because I had a question on that also. Perez Hilton is not exactly what you'd call a news person. I would put more credence in the Huffington Post than him. But anyway, one of the questions I had, and I'm going to jump straight to the end, is about gay marriage. And with that, I do have a problem. Now, gay marriage for a vast number of Americans and people worldwide is considered a religious ceremony and or sacrament. The Defense of Marriage Act protects the separation of government over religion by protecting these religions from recognized marriages that violate their beliefs. In essence, repeal would force a Catholic bishop or a Muslim imam to perform gay marriages. Now, the Supreme Court has upheld the recognized separation of church and state. So why not instead push for a federal recognition of civil unions, whether it is for gay, lesbian couples or of heterosexual couples? Instead of states issuing marriage licenses, rename them civil union licenses recognized across state lines with full family benefits. There are several churches that do recognize gay marriage. So if you're still free to marry within them, religious ceremony, but the license that protects your beliefs is issued by a civil union. Furthermore, couples that do due diligence prior to or immediately after should be encouraged to have legal contracts in place to argument for those civil union rights, such as wills, prenups, healthcare proxies. So why now try to overturn Defense of Marriage Act rather than trying to create Union Act will not upset, violate whatever religious beliefs.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and you know, I've heard that brought up before. You know, I'll tell you why I support gay marriage. I think it's our civil rights bill, just like for African Americans in 1964, President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act. It sends a message to younger people that you're equal, that you're not different, that you have all the same rights as your brother and your sister and your friend. And growing up gay is very difficult. And this sends a very loud, clear message all across the United States and all across the world that if you happen to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender or queer, you're no different. You have all the rights and protection of your straight counterparts. And I think that's why gay marriage is essential, why I'm campaigning vigorously for it. I think it should be the law of the land. I will not rest until it is.
So you're going to force a Catholic priest or even the Pope to perform a gay marriage within the United States. You will force your beliefs upon another religion, therefore taking away the separation of church and state.
You just said that, you know, that marriage, as I see it, is defined as a legal act. It's a government act. You know, the people who are saying it's 5,000 years old and everything, that's bunk. It's new. It's something that's done for legal protection. And it's important, and I'm not forcing anyone to marry anybody, a photographer to take pictures of a wedding if they don't want to. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it should be the law of the land. So if two loving people want to get married and raise a family, just like my brother is doing or my parents did, they have that right. I want equal rights. I'm a taxpaying, patriotic American. I've been in this country and participating in the process for many years. I should not be a second-class citizen, and that's what you're advocating. Sorry, I've done that for too long.
No, sir, that is not what I'm advocating. I'm advocating for civil unions between whomever can have equal protection under the law, the same rights for health care, for insurance benefits, for hospital visits, for property rights, for children, whatever, under a civil union. However, marriages, as I said, are recognized by the majority of people as being a religious or sacrament. Therefore, by turning around and using the word marriage rather than civil union, you are going to force the government now to control religious ceremonies, therefore forcing a Muslim to perform a gay marriage. Why? Why can't you then use civil union and use the same legal precedents?
Well, you know, if I had a magic wand and everyone was equal and everyone could have civil unions, that would be fine. But it's never going to happen. You're not going to take marriage away from all the straight Americans. It's just not going to happen. I'm telling you, I agree with you. I don't think we should require religious leaders to perform marriages if they're not comfortable. Most of these state laws have that exemption. I just want to send a message to kids, and I think shame on anyone who disagrees with that position, because I think it's important that everyone in this country be treated equally. It's in our federal constitution. It's how we force enforcement. But I think that's essential to send a message to younger people that they are no different, that they are equal.
Sir, I do
okay.
agree in treating
Annie, people Annie, Annie, you got Annie. Follow up with he answered that question. Let me get my question in here. Mr. Carter, I don't know if you've watched television lately, but there's all kinds of drugs out there, depression, for whatever. And the side effects are suicide, are liver failure, brain damage. I'm very concerned about the FDA approving these drugs. If somebody has diarrhea or wants to quit smoking, the next thing you know, a drug has been approved, and now they have brain or liver failure. How in the hell does these drugs get approved by the FDA that could possibly kill someone who simply wants to quit smoking?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we have made a lot of progress in this country, and there are wonderful medications out there to help people's mental health and physical health. And, you know, I have faith in our FDA. They're, if anything, they're too cautious. You know, they slow down a lot of drug approval because they want to make sure that they're safe for the public. And I have faith in our FDA. And, you know, I mean, people can make that decision whether they want to take prescription medicine or not. It's their call, theirs, and their doctors. And it's an option out there. I think they're wonderful drugs that help people, that can make people happy and healthy and lead more productive lives. And, of course, there are a lot of side effects. And, you know, we all see those long commercials. We know the pharmaceutical industry is making a lot of money, and they are buying a lot of commercial time and a lot of advertising. But it's, that's progress, I guess.
Yeah, all right. Just to our panel, let's try to ask one question at a time. Trying to ask 10 paragraphs at a time is a little challenging. John from Philadelphia, you have a question for Fred Carter?
Yes. Since we're dealing with the issue of homosexuality, but do you believe that people are born gay, or do you believe that being gay is actually a lifestyle that is chosen?
Well, I mean, I think they have science and evidence has proved that people are born gay, lesbian, even bisexual or transgender. And, you know, when I came out, John, in the 60s, there was not even the word gay. There were no role models. I was petrified. I went to 3 psychiatrists to try and switch because I thought that would be a much better life. And fortunately, all 3 psychiatrists said, sorry, we can't change you, but we can work with you. Well, I spent some time with one, and then I got very comfortable with myself and realized this is the way I am, and I unfortunately had to keep that a secret for 25 years from my family and my friends and coworkers, and led a double life, and it's not good, and it's societal pressure. It's jeopardizing your career. It's jeopardizing your relationship with your family. One of the reasons I'm running for president is to send a message to younger Americans that they can do anything they want to do, that it's okay to be gay. I get hundreds and thousands of emails and Facebook messages thanking me and commending me for what I'm doing because it makes it a lot easier for others. So, you know, I hope you'll be understanding. I hope you'll be compassionate that people are born this way. It's like the color of your eyes. I mean, I would have definitely chosen to be straight at that time of my life. I wouldn't now, but I did then. I would have then. And it's a difficult situation, and that's why equality is important, compassion, and embracing, you know, our gay brothers and sisters. It's just the way Americans should be. That's this country's credo, really. It's equality and understanding and embracing our fellow Americans.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, John. Getting back, I have a question from the chat room. This comes from Sarah, who has messaged me. She's concerned regarding, are you in favor of affirmative action, and would you be in favor of of an addition of adding gay, lesbian, transgenders to the affirmative action list, along with Native Americans, African Americans, etc.?
Well, you know, we're just trying to get people on WAPAT so people can't get fired for being gay. We're not asking for any special treatment at all. You know, this Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is before Congress, is pretty amazing to me that it's still sitting there, that, you know, any member of Congress is sitting there and is endorsing what happens in 39 states where someone who is transgender can be fired for that. In 16 states, you can still be fired because you're gay or lesbian. Well, you know, this is not the 1800s or something. And so, you know, all my community is asking for is equality and fairness. We're not looking for any, you know, special consideration. Now, there's a definite time and place for affirmative action, particularly for African Americans in this country who, you know, not worry about getting fired, they couldn't get hired. And so, you know, there was a time for that, just like there was a time for organized labor. I think we've outgrown that in many industries. So, you know, our Constitution is a living document that our founding fathers decided to bring forth because it could be amended, things change, people change, times change, and I think we need to continue to evolve just like our brilliant founders of our country did, you know, 240 years ago.
Okay, before I jump to the next, to Tesla again, Fred, I have a question for you. I am inflamed that we came to a budget battle to whereas the politicians were going to shut down, yet be paid, but yet they were ready to basically, you want to, without getting into detail, what is your opinion on the shutdown and what took place last night?
Well, you know, I'm gonna probably get about happy people, but I was actually kind of looking forward to the government shutting down. I think it's, you know, it obviously would place some hardships on people, but, you know, it's a job like any other. You know, I ran a business for 27 years, and, you know, when times are good, we hired people, we gave raises and bonuses. When times were not, people were laid off, we cut our own salaries, and, you know, government needs to work a little more like the private sector. And so I think a shutdown to show that we can survive without government isn't so bad. Now, I guess I'm happy that it was resolved. I'm very upset that we, you know, we're just make the little tiniest dent in our deficit. You know, $1.65 trillion, well, we're talking about the $50 billion in a cut. Well, that's nothing. You know, let's get some, you know, courage, you know, members of Congress. They're cowards. They didn't do anything to, you know, to try and lessen the tax in renewing the Bush tax cut. You know, they just kind of rubber stamp that for 2 years, and then bam, they, you know, they don't cut government. And, you know, we're in a dire situation where we need some dramatic action, an outsider who can come in and not worry about constantly getting reelected or moving up. We need tough approaches, and I'm very disappointed in the new freshman Republicans that they didn't stand up and get much more of a budget cut than this compromise that was worked out. I think it's inexcusable.
Okay, Kessler, go ahead. Next question. 30 seconds.
All right, no problem. Yeah, I appreciate the yellow light there. Okay.
I got my Kessler.
Ms. Carter, you made an interesting observation. You said there is scientific evidence to indicate that people are, in fact, born gay. Yet, in all my research and in most of the research of most scholarly individuals, and although I don't consider myself one of those, there is not one scintilla of scientific evidence that proves beyond doubt that a person can be born gay. So that, in fact, it still remains an issue of a matter of choice. Now, isn't what you're doing by pulling in the civil rights issue, 100 years of black people trying to fight white supremacy and white racism, isn't that a little disingenuous to be hanging your hat on something like that? When the fact of the matter is, Mr. Craig, I wouldn't even have known you're a homosexual except that you put it on your webpage. I know a black person when I see one, but I don't know a homo when I see one. Go ahead.
Well, you're talking to one. And believe me, Tesla, I was born this way. Because as I said, when I was a teenager and just, you know, in a very bad place, I would have easily chosen to be straight. And I tried that. I was a pretty decent actor. I had a lot of people fooled for a long time. Well, you know, no more. It's not a good way to live your life. Society feels that, you know, look at television. You look at it. Try and be in my shoes or another gay person's shoes. Watch television and watch commercials. You'll never see two men and a child at a commercial or two women. You'll only see a man and a woman together. And, you know, I felt like such an outcast and a freak, like, because suddenly I find myself attracted to men as opposed to women. How do I feel when I can't even watch television and see that on television? It sends a terrible message. I just hope your listeners and you will have compassion. This is not a choice. You got to trust me on this one. You know, you can talk to the American Psychological Society. There are lots that have studied a lot of people and have proven, you know, and even medical and science that this is not a choice. No people, I don't think, are going around choosing to be gay. You would have to. Could you choose to be gay, do you think? Could you force yourself to have sex with another man?
I know a few individuals, sir, that in fact have indicated that and have furthermore indicated that they're bisexual in nature. So it seems to me that these are matters of choice. Now, you still haven't pinpointed to me any proof positive from a science standpoint that folks are in fact born gay, and you still haven't answered the issue of how incredibly fallacious it is to link so-called civil rights of gay people with that of the black community. You know, I don't care how you feel when you watch TV, frankly. And frankly, I'm rather happy to see a happily married husband and wife or a man and a woman together on TV. I'm the one that would be uncomfortable, sir, watching two men kiss each other on television. Those, because I was born into and in part of a Judeo-Christian culture in this country. And what you propose, sir, is contrary to all that I believe in, particularly as a Republican. Particularly if one is a Republican. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, as far as the civil rights comparison, you know, it is very different. I agree with you on that. You know,
okay.
It's easier for me to blend in, let's say. I find myself in a very different situation now that I wear my little rainbow flag on my lapel when I go to meetings and see how people treat me differently. And that's unfortunate, but the comment I made earlier, and maybe it just kind of slid by, but I said it was not easy growing up gay, and the horrors, and you see it now, the teen suicides that we know about, the rash of 12 and 13-year-olds and 15-year-olds hanging themselves and shooting themselves. Well, you know, that is because they've been demonized by society and by their families and friends quite often. Well, that's why they need protection. We need to send a message to kids, you're okay. Live your life the way you are. Don't be in the closet for 25 years like Fred Carter had to. You don't have to live like that. Walk down the street, hold hands with your date or your partner or you know, your same-sex husband. Why should I be treated as a second-class citizen? Do you know how much time I've spent in politics, how much I've done for this country, and I should be treated separately and differently? I don't have the protections that you might have, Tesla. It's just not fair. It's not what our Constitution and Equal Protection Clause is all about.
You have every single protection. You asked me a question. You have every single protection that I have. I just don't wear my heterosexuality on my sleeve like you wear your homosexuality on your sleeve. And as far as employment and issues of that nature, we have laws today that prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. If you think those are bad, then reform them. I can agree with that. But change the basic nature of Christianity and our Judeo culture? No. I find that
very hard. Let me ask you a question. Tesla, are you married?
Yes, I am.
And do you, whenever we walk, do you hold hands in public or church or in a movie or with your wife?
Sure. Absolutely.
Well,
I love my wife.
You know, I can't do that. If I walk down the street on a date, you know, with a guy, I cannot hold his hand for fear of getting made fun of, beat up, ridiculed. I can't do a simple act like that. I challenge you to go to any mall in America, even up in West Hollywood or something. you know, the Beverly Center. You'll never see a same-sex couple holding hands because it's a stigma still. Well, that's terrible, you know, to have a simple thing like holding hands. We don't have to be making out all over like you straight couples do on airplanes and everything. We don't have to do that, but we can. It's just a simple act like holding hands. So I'm advocating, you know, commercials that have same-sex couples in them, not 100%, 5% of the commercials, just so some young gay kid or young lesbian can look and see and go, wow, that's me. You know, I want to grow up like that. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to the next question. Annie, if you have we've dwelled enough on the sexuality question, everyone. Let's get to some issues concerning this country. I mean, we have a presidential candidate, and you guys are all free to invite him, Fred, on your show as well. Annie, do you have a question for Fred?
Yes, yes. Now, Mr. Carger, I do my research, and Mike knows that. I read your curriculum vitae on the Internet. I've only seen peripheral mention in your interviews and so forth about your stances on certain issues. And you only mentioned domestic issues. You never mentioned international issues. We don't know your actual approaches to education, the economy, jobs, the specifics to them. So I'm going to ask you something. This is going to be international. Recent administration has advocated a global order by signing various treaties involving free trade, monetary funds, and arms. Specifically, the recently proposed UN small arms treaty that is now before us that Hillary Clinton says she's going to have signed, which will outlaw certain types of gun sales, specific types of firearms, and high-capacity ammo clips, and also create an international gun and gun owner registry that is open to a single country to view, and they'll see your name on that gun list. Do you oppose such treaties, and would you internationally declare our sovereignty as a nation separate from global unification advocates?
Well, hey, I'm sorry, I'm just not familiar with that. This is the first I've heard of it. I would have to study it and get back to you on that one. I'm very unfamiliar with that. I have been speaking out, you know, quite a bit lately, and, you know, I consider this a compliment. When I'm asked issue questions, I usually try and steer the, you know, interviewers away from, you know, gay rights, things like that, because I hope to be considered, you know, as a serious candidate. Well, what happened about last fall, suddenly I got started asking a lot of, I began getting asked a lot of questions about education and, you know, other domestic issues and jobs in the economy, because people are starting to take me seriously. That was my goal. It's the ultimate compliment. So I'd love to talk about issues. I'm not familiar with that. I've been asked about the, you know, what's going on in the Middle East with Libya and Yemen and Syria and Israel. I have a very strong opinion.
Okay, then I'll softball this one then. What is your stance on the Second Amendment?
Well, I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I think, you know, like a lot of the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, there things need to change as times change. I think these excessive clips, like that was used in the shootings and murders in Arizona recently, I think there's not a necessity for that. I absolutely believe in the right to bear arms, but I think, you know, our gun laws can be modified, you know, in a case-by-case basis, but I am not an advocate of anything against the Second Amendment.
So you would restrict the ability of a gun owner to own the weapon of his or her choice. I'm not talking about an AK-47 or a MAC-10 or whatever. I'm talking about a regular, say, for example, a 9mm, that if you're going up against a bad guy, a guy who's trying to rob you, clip in there, that maybe you of 17 rounds, and you've got a little pea shooter that only six rounds, you would rather put a legal gun owner at a disadvantage to a criminal?
Well, you know, that's the problem. There are too many guns in this country. There are 30,000 murder deaths by guns every year, 3,000 adolescents that are killed. And, you know, I mean, does that seem to be a problem?
How many are by illegal guns compared to legal gun owners? And I would say less than 1% of legal gun owners compared to the majority being illegal gun owners.
Well,
why don't you control illegal gun owners and not restrict legal gun owners?
I would love to do that. How could we do that?
Let legal gun owners have the freedom they deserve under the Second Amendment. We'll take care of the rest.
I know, but how do you round up the illegal guns and stop the illegal gun owners? You know, the gun shows and things, you know, it's in certain states, you know, California has very strict gun laws and waiting periods, but that's not the case in every state. And, I agree with you. That's the problem. We've got all these illegal guns and the criminals have guns. But we've got to do something. When you're losing 30,000 Americans every year to gun deaths, we have a problem. And, of course, not even talking about the injuries.
Are you familiar with Project Gunrunner that started in 2006 under Bush and continued under Obama, where the ATF allowed 3,000 firearms to be sold to straw purchases? Those guns made their ways in Mexico, came back into the United States, legally authorized by our federal government, and were used in 3,000 crimes, including the shooting deaths of two U.S. agents?
No, I'm not.
Well, Mr. Carg, I think you should really investigate the ATF and these gun sales.
Okay. I will, absolutely.
All right, John, you have the next question.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you supported a public option in the current healthcare debate. The public option was something that many people wanted in healthcare, but, I mean, it was shot down eventually, but I just wanted to find out if you had a position on the public option in healthcare.
You know, the whole healthcare plan, and I was very outspoken last summer when it was under discussion before this kind of watered-down bad law passed, of leaving it up to the states. You know, I commended Mitt Romney for RomneyCare in Massachusetts. I think that's the way to go. I don't think that a one-size-fits-all plan is good for this nation because Massachusetts is very different than Alaska. And so, you know, I think that we need to redo it. You know, there needs to be better health care. We need to lower the cost of health care because that is obscene, and some more, you know, serious look at those at that. But I think we really need to redo this health care plan, start over, and let's do it state by state with assistance and encouragement from the federal government.
Okay. Speaking of the federal government, I'll do the next question. Mr. Carger, we are involved in four wars or four fronts. We are in Pakistan. We are in Iraq. We are now in Libya. And, of course, Afghanistan still. Two things with that. Number one, would you, yes or no, support a 100% rescindment of the Patriot Act? And number two, just your general opinion on the four fronts that I talked about.
Well, I've long been an advocate of surging out of Afghanistan and Iraq. I think we've lost too many lives, too many wounded warriors coming home in very, very bad shape. It's costing us too much money. I think we need to abandon those wars now. And on the Libyan front, you know, I'm optimistic. I think we need to be clearer that we need to get rid of Gaddafi. There's an international coalition that, you know, we are a part of, and I think that that's important. I want to avoid ground troops there. It's almost Obama's going, well, as long as we're over there, let's just, you know, invade another country. Well, that is a mistake, and I think that, you know, I think this president is so over his head, it's not funny. You know, we'd had some optimism there that, you know, maybe he's what we needed, but I think he's been a disaster. I think he's unsure of himself, and it shows. He's depressed. He needs some of that prescription medication. I think he needs some Zoloft or something. The guy is not happy, and he's gone through bouts of depression in his campaigns where he gets very withdrawn. And, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist. I can't make a professional diagnosis. But, you know, I've seen a lot of candidates, and I can tell you that politicians, that this guy is not happy. So I wish he had, you know, a little more decisiveness, and I wish he had, you know, honored his Nobel Peace Prize, and let's have some more peace and negotiations and not just, you know, nation building like he's doing.
Okay, how about the Patriot Act?
I'm not as sure on that. You know, I'm looking at it, and it's something that has been around for quite a while, and we need to take a look at it and make some decisions there. But I'm not ready to scrap it.
Okay, so you would actually, so you would keep it, correct?
Well, you know, I'm again, you know, I'm, some of these, I'm talking to a lot of experts. I'm trying to figure this out, and I really can't give you a yes or no answer on that. It's something I'm looking at. Yeah, I'm kind of diving into a lot of issues right now, and of course that's a major one, and I'll be looking at that much more closely.
Okay, next question goes to Tesla. You are back up. We've got to kind of make it fast as we're winding down on about 9 minutes left with Fred. So go ahead, Tesla.
Got it. Very good. Mr. Carter, after listening to your answers, or lack thereof, to questions about very specific issues, and after reviewing your FredCarter.com website, I really don't see anything where you come out with any issues, any concrete solutions, or any concrete proposals for anything. All I've seen so far, and I've seen this in my research of other websites about you, that you're nothing but Johnny OneNote, and your OneNote is dag people. And for someone who's supposed to be running for president, you don't appear to have any list of concrete solutions or at least proposals to the major issues of this day. Now, if you're going to appeal to people who really don't give a rat's tail who you go to bed with, how are you going to accomplish that without answering specifics? Go ahead.
Well, Tesla, I appreciate the opportunity. Let me tell you my 3-point and three major issues that I'm talking about. Number one, education reform. As you are well aware, I'm sure you know, we are 21st in the world, in the industrialized world, in math, and 25th in science. Education has just gone tumbling down the hill, and we were first and we created it. And so I am proposing, and I will be coming up with ideas very soon. I've been working with a lot of experts on this because, you know, once you do come out with ideas and positions, you're there, they're yours. But I want to make school more interesting. One of the things I did propose, you probably saw on my website, was a consideration of lowering the voting age to 16 or 17. The argument
that
high school kids are much more involved and engaged with the Internet. Well, look what happens if suddenly in high school, these kids, you know, we're losing a million high school kids a year. What happens if they're learning politics as a voter real time as opposed to studying, you know, 30, 50, 200-year-old history, which they should learn, but they suddenly might be more interested in how politicians like me would come into the high schools. We encourage our school boards and principals and teachers to teach politics. Let's give them a chance. Let's see how that works. And I am hoping to lower the dropout rate of high school by that. Maybe 2, 3, 4, 5% of these high school kids will get excited about politics. I want to make school more interesting and more fun. I want to get kids out of the classroom more often. Take those buses that are dropping them off in the morning and taking them over in the afternoon. Let's let them see the world. Let's take them to, you know, businesses and parks and get them out of the classroom or in labor union offices and factories, and let's get them out of there and let's educate that way. I'm proposing a corporate public-private partnership where corporations and high-net-worth individuals adopt high schools and not just give them money but have a great interaction between the high schools and these individuals and companies where they bring kids in, teach them skills, work with them, go into the high schools, lecture, involve them, and so they get a little taste of real world and a little more specialized education. Jobs and economy, I know we got to go. I'm proposing, you know, an absolute end and working to stop this outsourcing and working with labor who has gotten us into this mess by, you know, every 2 or 3 or 3 years, you know, renegotiating these contracts and getting them so we can't afford it. It's the same way in our schools. Our teachers' unions are breaking our schools. So, you know, I want to look at that. I want to keep these jobs in America. I have the term saying jobs first. Let's keep these jobs here so when these kids do get out of high school and college and beyond, there are jobs waiting for them. My final area is bringing back this spirit and optimism that my old boss Ronald Reagan brought to America, that I kind of hoped Obama would. I want to bring that kind of excitement, encouragement to people. I want to make people feel good like Reagan did. You know, he came in at a very terrible time 30 years ago, after the hostages just got out and inflation was 10.5%, employment was, you know, going up steadily, and we're in a big recession. Well, I want to bring that upbeat optimism, encouragement, excitement back to this government and back to this campaign.
Okay, Annie, you will have the final question for Fred Carter. And before I answer,
okay.
Fred, thank you for joining us, too.
All right, I'm going to try one more softball. We're in the middle of an energy crisis, especially since the disaster of the BP spill. The current administration has brought domestic oil production to its historic low. Now, the transatlantic pipeline at its peak handled 2.5 million barrels of oil a day. Today, it's down to 500,000 due to the lack of maintenance on the pipeline and closing of oil leases. Loss of oil production spill of the Gulf Coast has 800,000 jobs. Now, as president, end up relaxing the leases for allowing drilling off the Gulf Shore and Atlantic and in Anwar, or also in the shale areas. As part is your energy policy to make us independent?
Well, thanks. My number one way to make us independent is something that we can do instantly, and that is conservation. I am so tired of going in movie theaters in the summer, and they're 60 degrees and people are wearing sweaters. Let's use a little common sense. Not government mandates. This should be voluntary, but we should be talking about this, of using less electricity and carpooling, and let's be a little more responsible with all the energy that's wasted. Number two, California, where I live, is pioneering, and, you know, not for every state, but, you know, by 2020, we will be one-third wind and solar. Alternative energy is very important, and I'm for drilling responsibly, not offshore. I don't believe in that. I think our coastlines are too precious. Certainly in the Gulf, far enough out is an option, but certainly Anwar and Alaska, which wants oil drilling, and it's been very successful there, is right. There's a tremendous oil reserve up there. We need to tap into that, and I would push very strongly for that Arctic refuge drilling.
Okay. Thank you for that, Annie. Mr. Carter, you got you've actually gone over your time. Do you want to give a closing statement? And thank you for staying, Fred. I know we're kind of a tough panel and we're very conservatives, but thank you for sticking it out. And please give us a closing statement. Well, and you know, these are the real questions from real people.
I know. I've actually had a fairly easy time of it till your show, Mike. So, I enjoy this. You can tell I like a good debate, and I like a discussion. It's a little hard on, you know, cell phones and things, but I want to come into this campaign very differently. You know, we've got a lot of Republicans looking at this, a lot of old, tired people. I'm old, but, you know, hopefully I'm kind of refreshing with some new ideas and energy that I can bring to this. I think the public is craving someone who can get along, who can work with both sides, you know. You're not going to like this, but I was a maxed-out Hillary Clinton donor 4 years ago. I'm a different kind of Republican, and I want to get along with people. I want some harmony in Washington, and I'm going to work very hard to make sure that happens.
Okay, Mr. Carter, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate your time, and maybe we'll have you back again if you want to.
I would love it, and I need to get some information. I gave you that Teach Everybody T-shirts and Frisbees. Fred, who? Spread the word all over the United States.
Thank you very much, Fred. We really appreciate
it. Thanks.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Mike, you're going to have to give us about 5 minutes to stop laughing.
Okay. Well, just a couple of quick analyses here. Clearly, he is a different Republican. He is progressive, there's no doubt. And
He's a rhino, and I'm being nice.
Yep. Tesla, I've never known you to be nice, so don't. If I have, if I get the option of getting whomever, but you know, obviously he is a different wave Republican, and I think he is ready for political office because I'm not sure any of my questions got answered. But I like his, you know, I just appreciate him coming on. Although I'm still confused. Was he for or against the Patriot Act?
Well, he was. I think he's studying it with his experts, like he does so many other issues.
Yeah. So next, I do appreciate his time. I'm sorry, John, and I'm sorry we never got to you. I just have to be honest. I was these answers were they just confusing me between. I mean, anyway, I have a question for all of us. Let's just okay. We got to move on from this. This is I don't know, too comical. But anyway, John, Southern Sense, and before I let you guys go, and Tesla, you are president of the United States as of now. You have 30 seconds to pick a running mate, 60 seconds to tell me why.
Who's the president? I am?
Yeah, we've each been appointed president. So we'll start with Annie. You have been elected president.
No, give me a few seconds. I'm laughing too hard. I'm crying. Give me a few seconds.
Well, you're probably laughing because you've been sucking them down as fast as my old mentor.
I didn't expect this to be a comedy show.
Kessler, hey, at least he stuck it out that David John Stonheim hung right up on you.
Yeah, I'll grant you, and I'm willing to bet he probably hung up out of anger and then realized that was really stupid and called back.
You know, he's got tough skin. He's been through it. He's a presidential candidate. But anyway, let's stay to the question. Go ahead, Annie.
I'm sorry. I need a sip of my wine cooler here. Who would I have as a running mate? Oh, Jesus. Can we resurrect Ronald Reagan? I don't think that's going to work.
No, you can't, Annie.
Now, what about Pat?
I mean,
I can't resurrect him either.
When you can't answer the question quickly, it almost reminds me of the guests. Come on. Put your feet to the fire here, Annie.
All right. Who would I take? I would probably take Michelle Bachmann. And she would bring along Tea Party conservatives. She's got a nationwide personality. She's got the governing experience. And she stands by what she says. She stood by the budget by voting it down, and I would trust her to continue as my VP.
Okay. Tesla.
Bitches are better than one anyway.
My vice president would be Ann Coulter. Why? Because I love her diplomacy. I love the way she delivers things and the way she speaks matter-of-factly and gets right to the point. That's the kind of vice president we need.
All righty. John, how about you?
Yeah, I think the only person really qualified right now would probably be a Mitt Romney because he's more on the moderate side of the conservative issue. So I say Mitt Romney.
Okay, I would. I go back and forth on this question, and I'll tell you, I always liked growing up Pat Buchanan. He kind of was the person. Well, he's kind of the person who I listen to old tapes. I used to get this may surprise you guys, but I spent most of my high school years in detention hall, so I was on the computer a lot, just listening to tapes.
I don't remember seeing you there.
Being the fact that we can't resurrect Ronald Reagan, and we certainly couldn't with Pat Buchanan. Here's, you guys are going to be absolutely shocked at this. I would pick Perry Steele. I think Perry Steele can't be bought. I think he's, as much as we disagreed and, you know, things didn't end the way they did, Perry Steele is true to his convictions. He's not a person who can be bought. And in today's day and age, surrounded by people who can be bought for bacon grease, I have great respect for people who stick to the convictions. He is against this war, and he will not stop beating his drum, and he will not quit fighting. And it's not for him. It's not for publicity. It's for the troops. And who else do we have on this planet cheering for the troops and pulling to help to get us out of these wars like him? And I respect that, period.
Okay.
Anyway,
that's cool.
Anyway, everyone, let's kind of close the show on this. I don't want to laugh in public because it makes me seem bad. So anyway, we do thank Fred Karger, Democrat for president, for being here. Wait, Republican for president.
No, you got it right the first time.
No,
yeah.
Tesla. Now, I didn't get a chance to do this. What you let it slip, and I'm surprised you let it slip when he mentioned the Constitution was a living document.
I know. I heard that. I picked up. Yeah, we did. And I think, well, you know, there's so many things I think we wanted to fire at this guy. But, you know, given the constraints of the time and the format, which I respect, I think there were a lot of things we could have really, you know, pebbled this guy with. You know, and I don't think, listen, each of us can pretty well hold our own against someone like him. It's when you have a candidate, Cynthia, that can get on the show and blow you away with their answers, whether they're Republican or Democrat or, you know, no matter how they feel, and they can blow you away with their answers, and this guy just didn't do it. I mean, face it. He's Johnny One Note. That's it.
No, what I find amazing is that he's been running this campaign for more than a year, but he doesn't know the issues. That's what really bothers me. I've been only doing this radio show only since August 8th, and I do my research before I go anywhere, so you should know what the key issues are out there and at least have something. But to
go ahead.
Wait a minute.
I think we all agree on that dead horse. He came on, he stood the fire. I'm not really sure of any of the answers we got, but, you know, and here's the thing, is that one of the reasons I kind of just hung back with you, Tesler, is that these are real questions. You know, Tesler, you're really a cream puff compared to what these leaders from the other countries will do when they're in your face. I mean, I don't know. When you announce your run for president, I think Obama makes you lower the standard. You're thinking, this guy doesn't even know 2 + 2. I can do that. I mean, if you think about those debates that Bush and Reagan had, where he says, I'm paying for this microphone, and the one where Mondale stood up and started pointing at Gary Hart and says, that man has just said 2 minutes of lies. And I mean, I think it was... I don't remember who. I think it was McGovern who stood between them. I mean, what do these people think they're getting involved in? I mean,
well, that's you know, Mike, that's really a good question. And if we had had more time, and based upon my research with this guy, I can tell you, and I cited even in my article that I put a link in the chat room for. You know, even websites from his own persuasion. Gay websites are questioning this guy. They don't even like him. He's not their man. I mean, the best you can pull out is Perez Hilton, number one, who's a woman hater, and he is. And number two, you want to lower the voting age to children, to 16? My God, when I heard that, I wanted to ask him if he wanted to lower the age of consent to 16, too.
Just for the record, when he said that, Kessler, I muted your mic instantly. Because I knew you were going to die.
You missed me because I was dying.
Anyway, my God, Tesler, this guy was made for you. You need to invite him on your show, Tesler. I mean, oh, my goodness. But anyway.
The guy's easy pickings.
Yeah, certainly. John, do you want to have a closing statement?
No, I don't have any closing statements, but thanks for allowing me to ask the question.
And, John, I want to see you on Monday on the show, too, okay? Thanks, John. Okay, Annie, we're sorry he took you away from the NASCAR race. 60 seconds, closing statement.
Closing statement, Matt Kenseth is leading with Clinton Boyer behind, Edwards following behind, Marcus Ambrose and Paul Menard are the top five in NASCAR. And that's 286 laps out of 334. I got two computers going. I got NASCAR on one. I got you on the other.
All righty. Thanks, Annie. Tesler, 60-second closing statement.
Okay. You know, Mike, to your listeners, to the folks who are listening to you now, I hope this is an important lesson in the sense that you've got to learn who your candidates are. You've got to understand what their issues are. You've got to know who you're voting for, folks. You really do. Now, in less than 1 hour, three people disseminated this guy to nothing, to absolute nothing. He's no presidential candidate any more than I am. But now we know better about him, and now you can go on and try to make a more intelligent choice and examine others. So the bottom line to this, especially for your listeners,
learn who your candidates are, folks. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I want to thank you for joining us, as always, the first of many. And also for, on, I think it's Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, I have a show. I'm going to be in contact with you. I'd like you to join if you have a chance to. Thank you very much. As always, Tesla, you're the person to find out if the candidate is the real deal or just yesterday. And oh, boy. But, hey, regardless of whatever happened, Tesla, at least he did call back. I mean, he called back himself. He didn't send his boyfriend, as the last guy sent his girlfriend, to talk to you and Perry. So, anyway, thank you very much, Tesla, for taking out of your Saturday night. This is
no
the
problem.
First of many, and I do have an idea I'd like to throw at your show, which I'll be in touch sometime next week for. So, thanks,
okay.
Tesla. Thanks a lot. And that's going to do it for the show, everybody. The reason I'm cutting it a little short is I am out of town, and there's some place I really, really want to be. Anyway, since it is Saturday night. All righty. Thank you, everyone, very, very much. Thank you to Fred Carter, too, although he clearly was quite a bit to the left of anybody's liking. You know, it is a tough arena, and he did come on. And he did come on for the full time that he pledged. He was true to his convictions. He has a great staff as far as for me dealing with them. And for him to give us your direct number and to talk, you don't see that too often. But thank you very much. And to all of our guests, join us on Monday. Monday's going to be great, a great show called Cast of Characters. Meet more of those very cool blog talk people. Tesla's friend Doc is going to be here, and we're going to have TJ Thompson and there's someone else I can't remember, but I'm sure that name will resonate. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a nice night.